The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Happiness Solved with America's happiness coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am so happy you're here. So you may have noticed the music is a little bit different. I thought I would change things up a little bit. So before I introduce today's guest, I want to talk a little bit about gratitude. So here we are. We're approaching the holidays. 2021 is coming to an end. Maybe that's a good thing for some people. I'm always one that, you know, gets excited for a new year. So gratitude is the quickest way to shift your thoughts from maybe negative or stressful into a positive state. There's always other people that have worse off circumstances than you do. So it's easy during the holidays because, you know, we want everything to be special for your family. We want to get the perfect gift for people and things like that. And you know, this year things may be a little bit different. As we all know, they're logistically, things are not getting to places the way that we're used to. We're not getting that instant gratification many times. So I just challenge everyone during this holiday season, throughout the day, as often as you need to, just take a few minutes and focus on everything that you have to be grateful for, because it really does shift your mood, your energy levels, your thoughts, because you have a choice. You have a choice as to whether or not it's going to be a merry season or if it's going to be a stressful season. I know for me personally, I choose to have a merry season and not let the stress get to me. So thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Today's guest is Nate Palmer. He is a certified personal trainer and corrective exercise specialist. He specializes in working with entrepreneurs and business owners to create energy, focus, and a lean, healthy body, one that shows up for your work, family, and focus time. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, Nate, how's it going today?
I'm doing awesome, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to have you on. And I think you scheduled this so long ago, and I'm sorry it's taken so long to have you on as a guest.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
No, I'm pumped. I feel like I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to blow my own horn or toot my own horn a little bit that Happiness Solved podcast was rated number 11 out of the top 80 happiness podcasts. Yes. On FeedSpot.
Awesome.
So I'm just so excited about that. I'm so excited.
You should
about
that.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah. You did, I'm glad you're saying something, because I feel like a lot of times people are like, oh no, like my stuff's fine, whatever. No, you gotta talk about it. You got some awesome stuff going on. I want to hear all about
it. Yeah. Thank you. So Nate, tell me about Nate Palmer.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a long story that maybe we just don't even want to get into. But I'll tell you right now that I'm an entrepreneur, a business owner. I love training and nutrition. That's kind of what I've been into for the last like 13 years. Started off as a personal trainer. I am currently, I would more identify as dad or dada, I guess, depending, than trainer Nate. But I have got a 3-year-old at home. I got a 5-month-old son. I sleep less than I ever have, but I have an amazing, fulfilling life. I wrote a book called The Million Dollar Body Method. I like hanging out with my family, working with clients. I got a fun story that I wanted to share with everybody today, but that's a really like roundabout way of describing it.
Perfect. Now, where are you located?
I'm in Tempe, Arizona. You know, it's like Phoenix area.
Yeah. I've been there a couple times.
That's awesome. I love it here.
Beautiful area.
And it's only 105 right now. So it's like, perfect weather.
Yeah, but it's dry.
That's right.
Yeah, see, I'm in the D.C. metro area, and if it's 90 degrees, it feels like 100, 110.
It's 90% humidity, too.
Yes, exactly. So there's a really big difference, really big difference. So tell me about how you got into what you're doing.
So, yeah, I'd love to talk about this. Can we take it all the way back, though?
Please, and I want to hear your funny story, too.
Oh, it's not funny. It's sad. I'll talk about it right now.
Please.
So I started off as I started working as a personal trainer just out of college, but I had been into exercise for a really long time before that. And really the impetus for me getting into fitness was there was a time when I was like 11 or 12 I was in eighth grade and I was at home waiting for school to start. My mom was going to drive me to school or something. And then she was out taking both my sisters to school. So she's going to drop them off, come back, you know, before Uber was Uber, my mom was Uber, you get it. So she had left the house and then I got a knock on the door and I looked out the door and I was like, I don't recognize this guy, low hat, like, I don't know. Maybe he's a contractor, mom had someone to come over, I don't know. I'm not going to answer the door. Then he came around the back and I was like, that is strange behavior for a human, but I don't know. And I was really scared. I was a scared person growing up. I was scared of heights. I was scared of snakes. I was scared of loud noises and strangers and getting in trouble. So I didn't call anyone. I didn't call the police. I didn't call my mom. I was like, I don't want to get in trouble. So kind of just like watching him go through down the backyard until I hear psh, and he broke a window on the other side of the house.
Oh, I was like, my gosh.
That is really not good. That is I'm getting a very strong sense that that is trouble.
Yeah.
And so my 11-year-old brain, I'm like, you know what I need? Steak knife. Grab a steak knife out of the block, run to my room, lock the door. And Sandy, the door lock on my room is these little rinky dink, dink. And that's it. That was the lock.
Can you take a bobby pin and just go like that and open it, right?
Right. Or just push kind of hard and it would probably open. And so I'm hiding under my bed with a steak knife. I don't know what's going to happen. And I hear him coming down the hallway. It's boom, boom, boom. And then he knocks on my door. My bedroom door. And he's like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm peeing my pants. And I don't am I going to die right now? What's going to happen next? Should I have called the police? And I still don't call the police. I call my grandpa, who's 75 at the time. And I get my grandpa to come over. Not a fully developed frontal cortex, you know, the decision-making skills were low. But it was I was just super, super stressed. I was this is how it ends for me. I'm only 11. I never even got a chance to bungee jump. Never even kissed a girl, Sandy.
Oh.
So he doesn't come in the room. He eventually, steals my DVD player. It's the 90s. And then he takes off. He steals my mom's jewelry. Police come. It's a whole thing. But my parents were going through a divorce at the time. So I'm already emotionally fragile.
Oh,
and I was that's it. I'm never allowing anyone to put me in a position like this again. I will never feel like my power has been completely taken away from me like it was today. And so I was like, you know how to get that back? Two things. Number one, more knives. Number two, more muscle. I was like, if I put on a big veiny suit of muscle armor, nobody will ever be able to hurt me again. You know, and I didn't know that at the time. That wasn't I wasn't 11 being I'm very self-aware. But that's where I went. I ended up having a knife collection when I was in high school of 100 plus knives and working out all the time. And I just never was very good at it. Never was very good at working out. It took me forever. I never, you're going to be super surprised about this, but I never ended up looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right? What kind of BS is that?
Really?
So I never ended up looking like the huge, muscly, intimidating person that I wanted to be, you know? But what I realized is that during the time, because this was 11, so I probably started working out when I was 13, didn't start taking it seriously until I was 17. But I've been doing something physically for the last 20 years, so the last two decades. I've been thinking about this, been focused on it. And what I realized is that my body's not the type that just is going to gain a ton of muscle and look all good in a Speedo. It's I'm a kind of a lean, skinnier guy. And what I found is that it's not about how much muscle mass I had on or how intimidating I looked, but it was all about the consistency and the discipline that I developed over time. that really led me to like kind of like one of my, I guess my mantras that I have today, which is that you really can't lose if you don't quit. You can't lose if you don't quit.
Exactly.
And I think that's like, that's something that I really want to like, that I try to instill in my clients and my wife and my kids, that I want them to know that like, that everything is possible. Your potential is unlimited, but you can't stop. Because maybe like maybe someone else could get to my like physical shape that I'm in right now in like 3 years. Wouldn't be that hard. Doesn't, not probably going to take most people 20 years to get where I'm at. But maybe it's going to take me a little longer. Maybe it's going to take someone else a little longer to build a business. Maybe they're not very great at Spanish. They want to be fluent. Maybe it's going to take them twice as long, three times as long, five times as long. But anyone is capable of accomplishing something if they don't quit. My dad said something powerful to me when I was growing up that I always remember. And he said, if one man can do it, Nate, another can too. If someone can do it, you can too. And I just like, I feel like I take so much solace in that fact, because it's this, it just means that like nothing's off the table. Talent, like all these things aside, you're able to take the things that you want to do and make them a reality, especially right now in this day and age. Like everything's possible. Everything's feasible. I don't have to go hunting for like wild boar, like go like get clean water. Like I've got time, space, and like mental availability to like focus on the things that I love. So
yeah,
that's a really long wind. Again, I'm kind of end up being a talker sometimes.
It's sorry, okay. I love that though. And you're so right. And I was just reading a book that was written by a sports psychologist. And he was saying, if you can see greatness in somebody else, you can have it for yourself. That's not his exact words, but it was something to that effect.
I love that because it goes back to the abundance mentality we were talking about before the call even started.
Yes.
If you are able, like when I was growing up, when I was like, I was in really negative headspace, kind of middle school, high school, probably a story for another time, but I'd always see what's wrong with people. I saw what they didn't like about themselves and I'd pick at it, you know, pretty ruthless. But the flip side of that is I can also see what people are good at, what their potential was, what they liked about themselves. And so now I choose to focus on those sorts of things. And like the amount of like enjoyment and life that brings to me to be able to be like, you know what, Sandy, you're really good at this is like, and to like to encourage someone and speak into their life like that, like it's not a give and take. It's a give and get. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's so powerful what you just said about seeing greatness in someone else.
Yeah. And back to your point where you're saying how, you know, as long as you don't quit, you're not going to lose. I mean, that applies to everything in your life. Doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. I mean, especially with working out, because I know for me, that's kind of one of my things. Is that I don't like working out.
I think so, like the two things that I like that I'm really passionate about, I love business building. I love like entrepreneurship and I love training. And I think both of those things, it's like completely 100% applicable, because if you have a goal of gaining super sweet biceps or losing X amount of weight or building a business or becoming an online entrepreneur or building an e-commerce store, you can accomplish all of those things with the one condition that you can't quit. You can't right. stop.
Yeah, you got to be in it for the long game, for sure.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention that my son is very tall and lean too. And he too will never have those big, big biceps. But boy, he made a commitment when he came home from college last March, and then, you know, never went back because of COVID. And he made a commitment and he worked out every single day. And like when he came home, his tricep was the same size as his bicep. Okay.
Yeah.
Skinny, right? Just straight line, right? No definition on his arm. But by the time he went back to school in August, he had guns. He had guns.
Awesome.
Right. And he just did. He was like, I'm going to do this because I'm tired of being skinny.
That's fantastic. Tell him I said, give him nugs for me. All right.
I will for sure. So talk about your book. Okay. $1 Million Body Method. I love that title.
Fine, I will, Sandy. So the $1 Million Body Method, like this is not a book about how to gain sweet biceps. So I'm sure if like anyone's in the audience right now looking like, oh no, like this was my chance. Sorry. But basically like I've been working as a personal trainer since 2008. So I've been doing this almost 13 years now. And what I always found was that like like even among my clients, there was always a high recidivism rate, a high amount of people who would lose weight and gain it back, lose weight and gain it back. And I thought that the like just the focus of weight loss, dropping fat, losing weight, like, you know, all these words are negative. They're all about you are too much as you are. You need to become less so we like you, you know? And so I thought the focus of weight loss and just kind of the fitness industry in general was very negative. And I think that has a lot to do with why people don't stick to it, because it feels, if you're feeling deprived, like any, like Sandy, anyone can lose weight. Like it's not hard. And also it's not important. Like you lose weight eating tilapia and broccoli and running 5 miles in the morning. Like congratulations. As soon as you have a bagel, you're going to gain that weight back. Exactly. And that sucks. So why suffer through like months and months of doing this thing in order to only gain your weight back? So there has to be a better way. There has to be something else that connects you to a greater goal than just running away from something fearful, kind of how I was doing like when I was growing up. You have to be running towards something powerful. And I love working with business owners and entrepreneurs. I work with a lot of them here in Phoenix because they get it. Because when I say, hey, listen, if you eat the right way, like, yes, you're going to lose some fat. Congratulations. You might have some abs. Great. But you'll also be more financially successful. You're going to be a better father to your family. You're going to be a better leader in your community. You're going to have more energy when you get home that your kids want to play with you. You're like, there's all these intangibles that come along with it that are so far, so much more powerful and so much better than just like, well, great, you lost 5 pounds. Because at the end of the day, like that doesn't satisfy, you know. But what does, what feels really good is when you get home and you don't have to sit on the couch and watch ESPN for 30 minutes before you can have a conversation with your kids. When you get home and you can go outside and play tag. When you can, like my daughter the other day, I got home from work and she was like, Dad, scooter outside, let's go. And I was like, okay. And she gets on her little scooter and she's like, phew. And I was like, I should not have worn this weight vest. And I'm like jogging after and stuff. And I was like, man, I am so happy that I'm in like the physical condition that I can chase my daughter down on a scooter before she like runs into the street.
Yeah, really.
You know? And like that is, I think that's what it's all about. Like the financial, the relational, the focus, those sorts of successes are more powerful and just going to create longer term adherence and success than the primary focus on weight loss. So that's what the book is about. So I wrote it basically based on a client I worked with in 2018. He's a roofer here in Phoenix. And he told me basically like, I am drinking 3 Red Bulls a day. I get home. I just have no energy for my family. I'm tired all the time, working 10, 12 hours a day. And we got him to the point where like, I was like, okay, great. Like we're not going to focus on training. We're not going to focus on weight loss. All I'm going to focus on is getting you better energy. So I came up with a couple different like structures for him. And then fast forward like 3 months, he's like, I have so much energy. I feel so good. My wife says I'm a completely different person. It's been amazing. I get home and play with my kids. It's been fantastic. Oh, by the way, I lost 22 pounds in 3 months. Wow. I was like, we might have done something here. We might be onto something.
So what did you, so, how did you work with him on just energy? Can you explain that a little bit more?
No.
Okay. I know. We, you know, you got to read the book, right?
Yeah. Major cliffhanger. Right. No more information. Yeah. So basically there's a couple things that are like, I feel like there's things that are like life-giving and there's things that are like energy stealing. And I don't think that we really understand as a society, like the levers and like the knobs that we can turn within our own system to create more focus, more energy. And like the term I really like is like mental acuity. It's like, you know, that day, Sandy, when you're like, I'm on fire today. Everything I do is awesome. Like I'm so smart. I'm making all the good decisions. Like that's what we're trying to create, like that flow state. So most of the time, like we sabotage ourselves starting off early in the morning. We wake up, we turn on the coffee maker, we pound a cup of coffee, right? And if you're not nodding along to this, then there's something wrong with you, because that's so many people that I talk to that they just like first thing in the morning is coffee. Well, here's an interesting thing about the human body. When you wake up, there's the hormone called cortisol. A lot of people think about cortisol as like stress hormone, belly fat hormone. It's not good. It's not bad. It is what it is. But when we wake up, that hormone spikes. Okay. And that's for one reason, to get us out of bed, get us rocking with our day, gets our energy up. So when we add caffeine on top of that, they both go up together and they both fall off together. So the better thing to do, the knob we can twist to get more energy in the morning, is you have water first, and then 1 hour after you wake up, when that cortisol starts dropping off, add your coffee then, and you're going to start feeling way better, get a lot more out of that caffeine. Just like a super simple example. And then like the next thing, like breakfast, like, I mean, you have kids, you've seen the commercials, right? Like healthy part of a complete breakfast. And what do they show? Right. Like Toucan Sam and like and Fruit Loops. And then it's like two pieces of white toast. And then it's like a banana. And then it's like milk, because you didn't get any milk in your cereal. And it's like orange juice. And so this huge high carb, high sugar breakfast.
Right.
And what's happening to most of us is it's spiking our blood sugar way up and then just dropping us down. So even though we had a big breakfast, our body's now responding by being like, yo, can we get some sugar in here? Like, I'm kind of tired at 10:30. And you're like, I just ate. Like, why am I so hungry? So we have half a donut in the break room. Well, half, you know, instead of having like the six blueberries we should have. And so like all day long now, we're on this blood sugar and like insulin roller coaster where we never feel good. And like, it's like, I feel like a lot of times people will tell me like, I never knew how bad I felt. I do the behaviors that I used to do like back in the day and just like on a daily basis. And now I feel like I have the flu if I do that, because we just are so used to living in this like purgatory of poor energy and like, and feeling slightly hungover all the time, that we don't realize how good we can feel if we just adhere to some simple, simple behaviors. So in the book, I call them the 7 daily investments, keeping them to that business theme.
Yeah.
So, and I like to think about them as investments because like nutrition's an investment, training's an investment, like eating the right food's an investment. And like 3 of the investments, like, oh, so like 7, that's a lot. 3 of them is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So like, it's really just 4 things. So, and I'm always thinking about how do we get the highest ROI? Like what's the best return on our investment? So for example, like one of the investments I call it like the morning routine is like, I think a lot of people in personal development know about like Hal Elrod and his, the Miracle Morning and his Savers. There's a lot of other morning routines out there that are awesome too. And I've tried many of them, but when I started having like, when I have a toddler and an infant, like there's not a lot of time for me to like get gratitude in and do some journaling and then meditate and then like spend like 40 minutes like sipping like this like Colombian like green tea with like yak milk or whatever the thing du jour is. So my morning routine is like 90 seconds. It's, check this out, Sandy. It's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Really complicated.
All right.
32 ounces of water, 60 seconds of explosive exercise, jumping jacks, jump rope, something like that. Done.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. Easy, right?
Well, you have to adapt when you have small children, for sure.
Not to say you can't like meditate or anything like that, but I think that like if I had to distill it down to the things that are going to give you the best return on your investment in the shortest amount of time, 60 seconds of explosive exercise gets you rocking and rolling for the day. And if you don't believe me, do 60 seconds of jumping jacks tomorrow within 30 minutes of waking up.
Okay. I am going to try that.
Do you accept my challenge,
Sandy? I accept your challenge. I accept your challenge for sure.
And shoot me a message when you finish.
Okay. I'm so happy you brought up the whole sugar thing, because I used to be in business with someone who's very, we had a cleansing center, and she's done so much research over the years. And I know it's probably a little bit more controversial, and sugar will never be eliminated from foods because of the whole industry, and it would put so many companies out of business. But she found a study that said that if sugar was put in front of the FDA today, it would be denied. It's that lethal for our bodies.
I have a hard time believing that the FDA would deny sugar. Probably when there's not so much financial benefit. That's right. A funny thing to me, right? The FDA is like simultaneously being like, you should eat these foods, and also promoting and advocating for like the dairy industry and stuff like that. Feels a little like mixed messages from me.
It totally is. I just know that my father was diagnosed with cancer, and he was given 3 months to live. And at the same time, he was told that he was like a partial diabetic. So he eliminated sugar from his diet. He lived for another 16 years.
Wow.
And it wasn't cancer that killed him. It was more, you know, complications from so much chemo, because he had cancer like 4 times and, you know, so much, you know, your cancer, or chemo is like a Band-Aid, as we all know. You know, it really hurts a lot of other parts of your body. But yeah, and I attribute that to sugar, that he eliminated sugar from his diet.
I could, like, I mean, I don't know the situation, obviously, but like, I could not agree more. I hate keto. I'm a big keto hater. But if I had cancer or someone else I knew had cancer, I would put them on keto immediately to eliminate all carbohydrates and all sugars, because cancer cells feed off of those.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Additionally, we've got cells in our gut, our microbiome, that like sugar. You know, we have some that feed off healthy foods, some that feed off sugar. And if we feed those sugar cells, they actually have access to a hormone called leptin, sends signals to our brain that goes, hey, let's get some more sugar in here. Mm-hmm. And so it's so, so powerful. And food scientists know this. Like you said, we'd never be able to get rid of it because the holy trinity of food science, sugar, fat, and salt is what keeps people eating McDonald's French fries. You know, do they have sugar on them?
Do they?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you can't taste it, but your dopamine receptors get it. That's why no one eats one fry at a time. It's because it's like, how many fries can I get in my mouth? Because they're so perfectly designed for human overconsumption. It's like the people who design them should get a raise because they're the perfect food to shovel in your mouth. They're soft enough where they don't really trigger the satiety reflex. So you don't get full until you've eaten way too many of them. And you're like, I'm sick now. So.
Wow. You really know your stuff.
Oh, thank you. I really like this stuff. I really like talking about it. It's kind of depressing though.
No. I think it's great. And I really think, you know, we need more people like you out there for sure. So tell me about your programs. Cause you said you have clients. So what do you have like coaching programs or do you just do one-on-one training?
Yeah. So basically the big thing that I do right now is really, really based off of the $1 million body method. And I wrote this book up in a way that like, even if I'm not in fitness one day, I still want it to be a standalone like guide that someone could pick up without knowing me, without doing a program, without doing anything like that and still get results. It's a 28-day kind of like hard reset. So I call that phase one. And then, so through my programs, I try to take people into phase three. And phase three for me is to the point where you've gone through phase one, you've learned the framework of the $1 million body program, so you can apply it to your everyday life. So you go out to dinner with your family, you go out to lunch with a client, you go to grandma's house on Thanksgiving, you can apply this framework easily in any situation to any taco cart. And then phase two is now we're at the point where like, okay, you take the framework, which was like, let's like connect the dots, right? Simple. You go follow the instructions. And now we go phase two, which is more like color by number. So I go, okay, Sandy, what I need you to do is for breakfast, I want you to pick one protein off this list and one fat off this list. And you're like, I'll have clams and avocado. And I'll be like, that's a little weird for breakfast, but all right, Sandy, live your life. You know, it's like that. Like, so trying to teach people now how to take like my structure and apply their favorite foods and the things that they enjoy about them into their own life. And the goal of phase two is simple. It's to get out of insulin resistance. And an easy way, there's two ways to tell this. Number one, you can go to a doctor and get a bunch of tests done. Or number two, you can get a tape measure. Measure your waist circumference at your belly button. So kind of like your natural waist. Mm-hmm. And divide that by your height. Oh, if that number is higher than 0.46, then you are insulin resistant, which means your body is never going to be like fully in homeostasis or balance when you eat carbohydrates. So we need to get to the point where your waistline is 0.46 compared to your height. So that's all phase two is. Some people are like on phase two for 3 weeks. Some people are on phase two for 2 years. It just depends on kind of where you're at and how long it takes you to get there. Then phase three is like that's where I want to get everyone to, is where now you're in a really healthy place. We can add carbohydrates back in. It doesn't really matter if you're having them at breakfast or lunch or dinner because your body's processing them a lot better. And then we can start building a little bit of muscle, start recomping your body, start getting to the point where you're like, dang, I look good. Like that's what I want people to do, to the point where they're like excited about training. And they're like, man, I can't wait to go set a PR on my dumbbell rows or something like that. Like it's like, that is so fun to me, getting people there, but it takes a minute. And it's something I did wrong pretty much my entire career. I was like you have 100 pounds to lose and let's try to go to phase three right away. I didn't really know it was called that at the time, but like I was just doing too much too soon. And now I realize it's a lot more of like a slow process, building people up and helping them understand, hey, like training's awesome. Training's a great way to do, be, and have more rather than like, again, like I said earlier, I want to be less. I want to lose weight. I want to drop fat. I want to fit into this box. So my goal is really to help people just embrace that different mentality around training and nutrition. And so they can use it to accelerate and to amplify what they're already doing.
Now, do you train virtually or is it all in person?
I don't do any in-person training anymore. So everything's virtual like on the internet. So if you had any questions about that, you can find me all over the internet on N8 training and I can give you some more information. But I got clients. This is really cool, Sandy. I got my, I finally checked a big box for myself in the vein of tooting our own horns.
Of course, toot.
I have had and worked with clients on every continent, including Antarctica.
No way.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And yeah, I hope you're tooting that on your website as well.
I haven't. I should.
Yeah.
I put it on the social medias, but I should probably put it somewhere else.
Oh, that's incredible. That really is incredible. So, Nate, you are so fascinating. And I'm actually wrote down the book. I'm going to get your book. It's funny. I've had so many authors on my podcast. And just so you know, I've got a stack of books now. I'm like, that sounds great. We get off the call. I order the book. And it comes in and life happens and, you know, we're all really busy, but no, that's really fantastic. So what else do you want to share with the listeners today?
Well, I kind of have two soapboxes. Please. Number one, we already went deep on you can't lose if you don't quit. I need to get that tattooed. Maybe I think like a neck tattoo. What do you think?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
You're 21 and old.
I'm old.
You're
21
year old in here.
Right. I'm old school. So yeah.
You talk to your son. Let's see what he thinks.
Oh, he'd be like, oh yeah, go for it.
I'm wondering if my daughter's not going to be like, oh, tattoos are like mom and dad have tattoos. That's gross. I'm not getting those. Like, I wonder if that's the thing now. Whereas
they may.
We were all like, all right, we'll see.
Yeah. I was raised from a totally different generation and yeah. So tattoo. And then for so many years for me, it was, I couldn't commit to one. I couldn't make a commitment to one particular tattoo. So, and now I'm like, I'm too old. I'm not getting a tattoo.
No way. Plenty of time. Happiness solved. It doesn't have to be the neck. You can get it in the face or whatever. I heard someone saying, this is not anything to do with what you asked me, but someone said like, well, your first tattoo is like, oh, this is like Dante's fourth level of hell. And it really symbolizes the battle between light and dark inherent in each person. And then you're like, your 19th tattoo is like, this is a salami and it represents salami.
That's awesome.
I thought that was funny. I'm not at 19 yet. I'm like at 8. So the room to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, the last thing I want to say before we go is drink your water. This is the most boring tip of all time, but drinking water is like the number one thing that you can do to, there you go, drink it up. To burn more fat, have more energy, have more focus, have more vitality. So many people miss out on this. And I always get people who are like, well, how much water should I drink? Should I drink 72 ounces? Is it my weight divided by this times like the Pythagorean theorem? Like, no, drink a gallon of water. And they're like, isn't that too much? Probably not. Probably too little for most of us. I drink like 2 a day, but I live in Arizona. So like if you're drinking a gallon of water a day, you're ahead of the curve. You're going to be feeling a lot better. And then drink 32 of those ounces first thing when you wake up. There's a million reasons to do that. Like I could spend another 40 minutes just talking about how many, like why you should drink water and all the cool stuff that happens. But just believe me when I say it's going to amplify your life. It's going to make everything that you do more effective and better.
Yes. I am a huge water advocate. I drink 3 things. I have a cup of half and half. I can't have full caffeine. So I have half and half. And then water and red wine.
Fair enough.
That's it.
Thought for a second you were talking about half and half, like just having a cup of like
no, I know.
Really thick milk.
Decaf. I don't even know. Half calf. That's what it's
okay,
called.
Okay.
Yeah, water's huge. Well, Nate, it has just been an absolute pleasure to have you on today. And I can't wait to follow you and watch you just become hugely successful because I think you're onto something.
Thanks, Sandy. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun talking to you today, too. Thanks for letting me ramble.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nate. Nate is such a great guy, and I hope you learned something from him. I know I certainly did. His book, Million Dollar Body Method, can be found on Amazon, and you can reach out to him through his website, which is natetrainingsystems.com, and that's the letter N and the number 8, trainingsystems.com. So I hope you enjoyed today's interview and episode. For more information about me, please visit my website at sandyscarlotta.com. My book, Happiness Solved, Climbing 100 Steps, can be found on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And as always, I hope that you and your family stay safe and healthy and that your life is filled with peace, joy, happiness, and drink lots of water. Take care, everyone.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliate Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.